It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Ow. Peace, this is Common. And right now you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune. Love.
The bigger dicker, the pancake flipper, the boom stiggity boom stiggity boom stiggity sticker, the boogie flipper.
The don't stop till you drop it, your IHOP pancake breakfast. For the rest of this, we came to bless this.
The windshield wiper for your ear master, the Cap'n Crunch that will steal you from disaster. You got too many cracks on your wall, you need plaster. Yeah, with the program, you're drinking 30-year-old UPS Shasta.
Yo, you're drinking Shasta, but I'm the master blaster. Miss Ginger Lynn in the studio tonight, said it right, get it going all night. NPR with a star.
You think I'm lying? Stop trying. Pay attention and you could go far. Because you're listening to the motherfucking N and the P and the R. Yes, yes, y'all. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, and you're listening to NPR, Nestorius Public Radio. We're here live Thursday night, 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, midnight to 1 a.m. on SkidRowStudios.com. And we're joined once again, like the reunion is back. My nigga right here, Simon Kaufman.
Don't call it a comeback, baby. We've been here all year. The three trifecta back in the building. I had some work conflicts, you know, working for a living.
Blast.
Moved to L.A. for fame, fortune, celebrity breakups, you know. Next thing you know, I'm serving mashed potatoes at a restaurant.
And you're fucking,
so sometimes I'm not available.
And you're picking up crumbs from the fucking...
refilling iced teas and Diet Pepsis for senior citizens.
Would you like
and
more lemonade?
Do you want some Diet Coke?
Thank you.
Help yourself. And my man Rich Corbin. I'm gonna introduce my unbelievable guest. My man Rich Corbin.
What's up, everybody?
As always. Mm-hmm. And we have an amazing special guest, Miss Ginger Lynn Allen.
Woo.
I gotta leave the best for last, Ginger.
Thank you. No, I'm flattered to be here.
You're the star. You're the star of the show.
No.
You're the star of my show.
Okay, all right.
So.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's a pleasure to have you here on SkidRowStudios.com. For those of you that don't know, Ginger Lynn has a show here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., 2 hours a day. Catch it live on the video. If you go to Skid Row Studios, there's a live video a button. You could check it out and then check out the show.
The show's called Blame It on Ginger.
Blame It on Ginger. It's a fucking...
So if you ever get in trouble, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, just go, yep, Ginger Lynn.
Blame it on Ginger.
Yeah,
Ginger
Lynn did it. All you have to do. You don't just say Ginger Lynn and you're out of trouble.
She's like her own messiah. Like instead of like we give it up to Jesus, we just blame it on Ginger Lynn. You know, you're like a new form of a messiah. Blame it on Ginger. Ginger will absolve you
of
all of your excuses.
The lead-in song to my show is written by a band by the name of The Bones, and is what their album is called. What Would Ginger Do?
Yeah. Like, what would Ginger do?
What would Ginger do?
Yeah.
So
we need bumper stickers.
Yeah, I don't know if my parents would really approve of that. They're fine with the porn, but I don't
that
think
was
by
the power.
Like
the power. Yeah. Just
all right.
So okay. So you know what? You know the why I love you so much.
No,
I'm gonna tell you why I love
you.
He
made a list.
No. I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this.
Okay.
Because you were just on Dark Mark's show,
right?
And that's my boy, Dark Mark.
He's awesome.
He's a sweetheart. But you know why I love you so much, Ginger? Because seriously, you're a survivor. You're not only are you a trendsetter. I know that sounds like a pat fucking a title, but hear me out. You're a trend-setting, you're innovative, you're a woman in this industry, in the entertainment industry, which is very, very difficult to
it is.
To do.
A lot of obstacles in the way.
But you have survived. When I say you're a survivor, I mean you have survived all sorts of shit. I mean, from back in the mid-80s, and you constantly reinvent yourself. You reinvent yourself.
I think you have to. I think and
no, just no. Some as a people person, overdose. Though,
but I would get bored if I didn't constantly do something new and exciting and innovative and just make every day is the only today I get. and I want it to be the best today that I can possibly have. So whether it be reinventing myself or going in a new direction or a new show, whatever it may be, I will never go away. You can't get rid of me. So no. I don't know if it's so amazing that I'm, you know, anything but just a...
It's amazing. It's amazing.
A survivor.
No. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm telling you. Most people that have been through half of the shit that you have been through, overdose, hang themselves, fucking get run over by buses with accidente on the back of the fucking the Puerto Rican toothless lawyer.
I follow that bus every fucking day when it comes to the studio.
Yeah.
Why is every bus in L.A., why do they have accidente on the back? Every fucking bus in Los Angeles.
Hola,
says
me llamo Miguel, el gerente. Si tú y tu esposa están en un accidente especial, por favor, no le maten. Llámeme al 1-800-995-5348.
That's the bus.
Yeah.
That's 1-800-ACCIDENTE.
When I first came to LA, I did a monologue just based on that fucking... I had to audition for something and I needed a monologue, which, by the way, I fucking hate monologues. You know what I mean?
Oh, they're the worst. They're the worst. So hard.
They're hard. Because you have to put yourself into somebody else's body. And it's a different thing if you get hired for a part and you act. Then you have a long, you know, arc to do. But to take a chunk out of something, you know what I mean? I figure I could write my own, or I can imagine one as the lawyer on the back of the bus. 1-800-ACCIDENTE. You know what I'm saying?
I studied for 6 years at the Beverly Hills Playhouse with Milton Katselis. Mm-hmm. Easy for me to say. And I remember the first thing that I ever put up on stage, and I had to kiss someone. And there was this long stream of spit, like from Simon and I. So I do the dialogue, and there's this kiss, and that. And then there's this long
stream. Wait a minute, there was a Wayne's World moment just now.
You've got very sexy eyes.
Yeah, I've been told that.
Unbelievable.
I know, I'm just joking.
No, it's all right. It's all good.
You know.
Yeah, Simon and I have a little thing going here.
It's all good.
Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the fuck up, I have a little teens, man. Don't stop, you motherfucker. Anyway, so
I want to see if you can recreate the saliva,
spit.
The saliva rainbow.
I can't, and I'll tell you what, I've been with the same man for nearly 6 years, and nobody else goes inside of me, and
big up to you.
No other man.
Nick.
That's it, and
Nick.
I will Nick.
That's Nicodemus.
That's me.
Get the fuck up, Nicodemus.
Jolly children, yeah.
Blasting mad cups of flavor from the east to the west coast, man.
Philly blunt, man.
You know it. it takes, you know, I met Nick a couple of weeks ago. Nick's your boyfriend.
Yes, he's here tonight.
Your significant other. He's always there. He's your better half.
He really is.
He looks out for you. He does your business
stuff.
He really
is. So, and he's a civilian.
He's a civilian.
And for me to be with a civilian.
Yep. Yep.
Sanity, balance.
He's
you in line.
Amazing. Yeah. He's awesome. Yep. There's a balance there because I tend to be very...
You're a performer.
You're an artist.
Yeah. You're an artist.
That's like the you get all as much as you can out of life, and that takes, you know, takes going crazy.
It takes a lot of energy. Yeah. And
it's
a lot
yin
of,
and yang.
Yeah.
And we are the yin and yang. Mm-hmm. So as far as spit going, I'm sorry, Simon. No spit will flow.
No, I'm not on that yet.
I've got a good boyfriend.
You got a yin and yang going, and I'm not gonna slang that yang. I'm not gonna hang.
Hang on that slang yang.
That's not what we do at Skid Row Studios. But yeah. I will cover up the puke with the newspaper.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Yes.
I'm really sorry about that, I mean, I had a bad burrito and a case of beer, and it just... Yeah.
I tried to tell Rich whenever he comes out to do my show not to be fucking around.
Don't worry, the other part's coming out soon.
The beer's fine.
We got some Febreze in the studio just in case that burrito kicks in number two.
I've got Lysol to back you up.
Yeah, first he pukes, then he poops, then he cries in the corner. We just console him. It makes Rich. Great radio.
Rich.
It makes great radio.
Okay.
My God.
Okay.
Blame it on Ginger.
Everyone else does. Might as well go for it.
So you, I mean, we just had a little bite to eat before, and we got a little acclimated, tiny, whiny.
Yes.
Tiny. So you've done, you told me you've done more legit films. And by the way, you guys out there, legit is the term that the industry gives to film and TV as opposed to commercials or adult industry stuff. So
right.
Legit is film and TV. So you've done more legit stuff.
I've done more mainstream Hollywood than I have porn.
Right.
My career extremely short. It was from December 9th, 1983 until February 11th, 1986.
How old were you?
I turned 21 on my first film.
On your first film with Ron Jeremy, and you guys did a love scene on the beach, yeah? Was that the first one or no?
That was your second one.
That was your second one. Okay.
Right?
That was my second.
Okay. So we won't ask about the first one. It's not important.
You know what? The first
that was
one,
my favorite.
The first one was much more important. The first
really?
One, yeah. And so I paused there just because Ron Jeremy has had this thing that he used to say, just the tip, just the tip. And it would be before the film, before you're filming. And he said, just the tip. And if you watch the movie, it's called Surrender in Paradise. And there's a scene where Ron's behind me and I just turn around and the scene starts with me decking him.
Oh,
I
really?
Just, and he said, just the tip. And I'm like, no, 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 no. And I fucking decked him.
But then the director yelled cut, you guys reconciled, and you did.
No, we never did.
Really?
No.
That was it. So wait a minute. Which is the film that you and him are walking down the beach, and then you jump in the water, and then you come out?
Same movie.
Is it?
That's it.
So you guys never, he never.
I'm a brilliant, brilliant actress.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Nice. So you mean to tell me I was jerking off to make believe?
Of all the scenes I've ever done in any adult movie, that would be your make-believe scene.
Oh, man.
That would be your nothing.
That right there.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Seriously?
Nothing was there.
Holy shit.
Nothing.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That right there solidifies you as an amazing fucking
Thank
actress.
You.
I swear
Thank
to God.
You.
If you've never seen the film, seriously, no bullshit, Google it. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. Because it does not, I'm flabbergasted, seriously. That's bizarre, you know?
And I had nothing but... Yeah.
That's bizarre.
It's you know what? Passion in any form can be mistaken for one thing or another.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And mm-hmm. I did a bunch of films with Tracy Lords, couldn't stand her.
Mm-hmm.
I
we'll talk about Tracy Lords in a little bit. You can I have a quote that you said. Would you say Shark Week? you said Shark Week, stare,
have you
eat,
looked
devour.
At her, in her face? There's nothing going on. Those eyes
are dead. Can I tell you
dead.
Something? When
They're
she came on
dead.
The scene, to me, in a sense, that's when like the adult film industry started to shift a little bit when she came on the scene. So, but anyway, it's just, I remember like Sharon Mitchell, for instance.
Oh, I love Mitch.
Sharon Mitchell. So for those of you guys that don't know, Sharon Mitchell was not the most attractive looking woman on the planet.
She was a very
I disagree with
masculine.
That. I think she's beautiful.
But
hold on. Do you know who she is? You just bullshit.
I just watched the.
Okay.
Knowing you were going to be on the show, I watched
right,
some.
Right.
E-Story, so, True Hollywood Story.
Whoa.
Story,
yes.
But wait, you've seen her after she did work on herself. If you go back and see some of the films from the 80s, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I don't need to rewind. I just like to look what's across the table.
No. What I was going to say.
I need to know how we got to this point.
Dude, what I was about to say yeah. was that she wasn't the most attractive.
No,
so
she was
that's
not.
That's a better way of putting it. She was more masculine looking.
Masculine.
But there was something fucking sexy about her.
Oh, my God. Her nipples?
Dude.
She had inverted nipples.
Yeah.
No one had those.
She had special shit.
She had it before they even came out with them.
She was the inventor of inverted nipples.
Yeah.
I've never even seen her nipples, but I've only looked at her face.
No, but there was something about her. There was something about her that, okay, here's the deal. So we were talking about this, about where adult films have gone. And I'd like to talk about all that stuff a little bit because, I mean,
of course,
there's so much to talk
about.
But back then, it was just basic, right? It was just man, girl, 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 and man. It wasn't like 50-inch cock.
No, it was
2 hours of guys waiting online so they can stuff somebody in the face.
You know, they had writers.
You had a script that the first 15 pages were dialogue, and then it said sex scene. Then you had another, we had 120-page scripts, just like you do in any other film.
Right.
And then the sex scene would be inserted. And I chose my leading men, my leading women. I had script approval, cast approval. And I made sure that everyone I worked with was someone that I really wanted to be with.
And that's probably why he was very successful. You know?
I had a really good time. Yeah. I was in it during the golden era. Yeah.
And you called your shots. You called your shots and you made the right decisions.
Well, back then you had Christy Canyon. You had Nina Hartley. You had, I mean, these are classy. Oh my God. Oh my Seca. God.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? As a young Puerto Rican boy, I was like, God damn. I want some of that. I haven't seen that.
Vanessa Del Rio. Oh my God. She was my first porn I've ever seen.
I've heard the name.
Oh my God. She's a bodybuilder now.
I was five years old in 83.
Is she still alive, by the way? She should still be alive.
Yeah,
right?
She's still around. Yeah,
she's a sweetheart.
Kicking. She's just amazing.
Vanessa Del Rio.
You were five.
Yeah. You're tripping her out, dude. So basically, here's the other myth that a lot of people have about porn and adult film. They always have that waka waka pop music. Right. The majority of the music.
Yeah.
But the majority of the music back then was actually very nice, jazzy type music. It wasn't that wackadoo
shit.
They
wrote music specifically for films. There's a film called Ginger, and there's a scene where I'm kind of running on the beach and hanging out, doing my thing, and they've got this girl who has a very, her voice sounds exactly, if I could sing, which I can't.
Can't do everything.
No, I can't. But that's what I wanted to be when I was growing up. I wanted to be a singer.
Of course.
And I can't sing to save my fucking life. I'm tone deaf. I have no control, nothing.
Of course.
I'm awful. But in the film Ginger, they've got the instead of the waka waka boom.
Yeah, the boom chicka boom chicka boom shit.
Yeah, it was a girl who had a voice very similar to mine.
Right.
Singing. Right. And they were pretty.
Yeah, they were. They had a composer. Okay, listen. I want you to measure the pee-pee over there. When it goes inside, I want you to put one full note, okay? One full note, then we do three full notes like that. One, two, three. Okay, slow it down a little bit. That's right, put in the Archangel music, and that's nice, yeah. We want it nice. We want to paint the picture nice, okay? The picture painting nice, okay?
Now it's a guy holding a steady cam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's a guy holding
a steady chick.
It's in an
unmarked van.
Yeah.
We had a van back then. We at least had a van. Today they don't have
vans. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a van. I'm saying when you start taping the windows and inviting people in and filming them, it's not like it used to be.
It's gotten really creepy.
Nowadays, you never needed a dungeon. You could have a nice couch or somewhere to lay out by a beach.
But for those of you guys that don't know, the you mentioned Tracy Lord before. The deal was that she was underaged, and she lied to do porno to do adult films. And in California, I believe at the time, you could do porn. There was some sort of a wacky law where you could actually
You could not do films in California at that point in time. It was illegal.
You could buy them and watch them.
Oh, you could buy them and watch them, but you couldn't make them.
Right. Yes.
Ladies of the jury, we are adjourned here because we can't have pussy and cock making here. You can watch it. We can tax it, but you can't fuck it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We can have prostitutes at the judge's congressional dinner, but we can't.
Right. Is that wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, we can have governors with underage sex scandals, but we cannot film it.
No, that's the interesting thing.
That's perfectly acceptable.
That's the interesting thing, because she was underage, so then they came down on the porno industry at that time.
Right.
And they started going after you guys for tax evasion and faulty taxes.
Exactly.
And that's the first thing that had happened to you as a result of all that bullshit.
They went after me, Harry Reams, and Tom Byron. And what Tracy had said was, these are the three people who will know everybody that you can bring nice. In, and they will testify. Nice. And I was brought before a grand jury, and I have a really bad memory.
No, it's okay. Well,
I don't remember a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And they eventually charged me with willfully subscribing to a false tax return. And at that point in time, it was not mandatory that the producer 1099 the employee.
Right,
It was not mandatory. So there was $2,087.04 that I spent 4 months and 17 days in federal prison.
Right, for that.
I was
That's
facing
ridiculous.
Six
ridiculous.
Years. And the thing is, Tracy, when they brought me before the grand jury, they had photos. And they were shot from behind bushes. And there were things that were shot knowingly that she allegedly was underage. I don't know if the cunt was underage or not. I really don't.
They had photos of bushes?
There were photos of bushes behind bushes.
You know, one of the
behind founding bushes, behind
the
bushes,
bushes,
behind bushes.
And the bushes?
There was bushes and bushes.
There was bush and bush and bush and bush.
Bush was in a bush behind bushes.
So I just want to take this moment to say that one of the founding principles of the United States of America and one of the things that our founding fathers set up was that you could not be imprisoned for owing tax to the crown. And to owe $2,000 and to be thrown in jail.
$87.04.
When you could have paid it in a stroke of a
That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point.
I spent over $400,000 defending myself for a crime I didn't commit. Now, I could have easily.
That's a violation.
No, you're right.
You're absolutely right. And I could have easily just stood up and said, this person, this person, this person, this person. This
but that's not who you are.
I am not. My grandfather was a cop. My dad was a cop. Yeah. And you're not a cheater, a liar, a thief, or a snitch.
Yeah.
And snitch is number one. You're not a
snitch
fucking snitch.
Snitch is the worst, yeah.
That's like the lowest down dirty thing that you can ever do.
Yes.
And not that I had anyone to snitch on.
But you weren't going to be involved in pointing fingers at anybody.
No, no. It wasn't my place. And and the thing is,
and you didn't know anything.
I was working on... No, I knew nothing. I was in prison.
We'll help you, though. We'll help you remember.
We'll help you remember, or we're going to make it really hard on you.
But you mentioned Harry Reams and Tom Byron. Now, those two dudes, they were heavy hitters also in the porn industry back then. Those are like...
They went after me first, and when it took 5 years to try and do anything, they dropped the cases against Harry and Tommy.
Right, right.
Yes. Right.
And then, so when I said to you in the beginning that why I love you is because you're a survivor, you're a reinventor, you're an innovator. You know, when I was looking at that same clip where you worked, they kept saying, and Ginger Lynn Allen once again finds herself unemployed, and then you come up. And you have a new fucking way of making money.
Doing something new.
All legit.
And
Ginger Lynn's body.
GingerLynnAuctions.com.
No, forget that. I'm talking about way before. Videos. A lingerie video.
I had a workout video.
And
that was the one that was interesting.
And they were both very, very well received.
They were.
And they were. My workout video was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It was very, very.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it today.
I couldn't either.
I couldn't do shit. I can't even tie my shoes.
Why do you think I'm wearing boots? Okay.
I can't even tie my fucking shoes. Workout like that? No,
Now, did the husbands buy the workout video, like, as a gift to the wife?
Of course they did.
That's awesome.
Of course they did.
Well, here was the best position in the video.
Get the glutes going.
That's actually, hold on a second.
That's a glute ham activation exercise.
There you go.
Yeah, I can't. This one? Yeah, I can't do it. I would have had to drop it down. I'm not that manual juxtaposed. Did I put the camera back the way it should have been? Cool.
It needs to be kicked over a little bit more.
We made Jenny work extra hard today. Move it to the left or to the right?
To the left. Oh, the other left.
Other way.
Other left.
Like that?
There you go.
Like that?
There I am.
Okay, cool.
Hello.
Cool.
Skid Row Studios back in effect.
Yeah. You don't stop, motherfucker. Hit the body rock. Jiggity, 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 pop. Pop, pop. Don't stop. Anyway, let me stop fucking around. So before those workout videos, though, you were the first adult star to, like, capitalize or actually set the trend for Vivid for selling VHS tapes.
Yes.
So you and you were one of the highest paid adult stars, like in your 20s. I mean, I read that you made, I don't know how much money you made, but
I was the first contracted performer ever.
Okay.
And so for Vivid.
Uh-huh.
Which put them on the map.
Right.
And it was very similar to old school Hollywood, where you had a contracted star, you paid them a certain amount of money to be exclusive. I was exclusive to Vivid for video only. Mm. So I was still allowed to do mainstream or non, even adult films, as long as they were shot on film.
And that made a lot of money, and that's what put Vivid on the map. You know what I mean?
So was that your idea?
No, they actually came to me, and we worked out a deal. And
instrumental in crafting that.
She's instrumental in that. Yep.
There would be no Vivid if it were not for me.
That's awesome.
The thing that I'm confused about is.
Big up, JJ, you put Vivid on the motherfucking map, y'all.
They should have a big statue.
Right
in the middle of their, like when you open the doors, there should be a statue.
What's that word in
foyer?
Perpetuity? No.
Perpetuity?
Which means forever.
Perpetuity. Perpetuity means forever.
Yes.
Yes. On your motherfucker!
I have one of those contracts with Vivid.
In perpetuity, yeah. Wouldn't it be nice?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So you were in the, I mean, you had already capitalized on the VHS video business because from that, and then, you know, you moved on. And here's the thing, what I'm saying, you moved on to doing your own personal workout videos and your lingerie videos and all that stuff.
Right.
But in between all that stuff, you were doing TV, legit, like we're trying to get at earlier, legitimate TV.
NYPD Blue.
NYPD Blue.
Here's the perfect example of the story. I was actually in prison, and they had put me in a three-month
facility.
Echo Park facility where they called them cottages, and I had a cottage with three other women, and I was allowed to leave for work purposes only.
Right.
So I get up in the morning, and one of the girls in my cottage was fucking all 70 other people that weren't them. They weren't girls in the facility, and I have this audition. So I'm standing in the bathroom. I've got my eyelash curler on, and I hear, which means, come on. And I turned around, and I had my eyelash curler on. And I went, "She's not a fucking dog. Leave her alone." I was so fucking pissed because I pulled all my eyelashes out.
Oh.
I go to this audition.
Stephen Boschko.
I'm in prison at the time, Stephen Boschko, and I walk into the reception area.
Yes, the casting office.
Tracy Lords is sitting there. I'm in prison because of her, and she's sitting there, and I read the script, and I'm looking at this, I'm going, are you fucking, all I can think about is I wanna light her hair on fire. I wanna cut her tits off. I hate her. I'm in prison because of this fucking cunt. And no, it was awful.
Yeah.
And I go in.
That's a cruel irony.
I call my agent. I said, you know what, there's a line in the script I will not do. And all it said was, I want to lick your lollipop.
Right, that was the line. That's what they could come up with.
To Dennis Franz, I want to lick your lollipop. And so I call my agent and I tell him, there's no way I'm not doing this. I'm not saying this line.
Right.
He's like, you know what, go in there, get the fucking roll, then you turn it down.
That's what your agent told you.
That's what my agent
told
me.
That's smart.
So I went in, I got the fucking roll.
Right.
I turned it down. And if you see the episode, it was nominated for 5 Emmys. It won 3. I'm the guest star. And I don't say the line, I want to lick your
lollipop. No, you don't.
It's not in the film.
No, it's not.
Not in the film.
No. No, Stephen Boschko said he'd change the line for you.
He did.
He changed the line
for
you.
He did. And so, it was one of those meetings where you walk in and there's like 12, 15 people sitting around a table. And the reason I think that I got the role is I didn't give a fuck. I'm going back. When I leave here, I'm being driven back to prison. Okay? I'm walking out of this and going back to prison. I'm going to be there that night, the next day. And I had, so when I did the filming, I would go every day to the set, return, and have to pee in a cup in front of a black woman that tested my pee to make sure that I had
pee on your motherfucker, y'all.
She tested?
She watched me. No, it was the same woman every day, and I would have to pee in a little cup, and she would watch me do it, put the seal on it, watch me. There were mirrors around the entire room. It really was.
What's the problem with you think a couple casting directors are going to scare you after that shit I pissed before a fucking black lady, an obese black lady? You think I'm going to worry about you? Oh, well, a producer, fuck you, Lenny. I got this part. You just read with fury.
3 years just go in after that with Heidi Fleiss. Heidi Fleiss was like the main person that I saw every time I went in to pee. For my drug testing, Heidi Fleiss was there every fucking time.
Now, didn't she have... There's a connection between Heidi Fleiss, you, and Charlie Sheen, no? Was that Heidi Fleiss?
I don't know if I'd call that a connection.
That was just something that just came in my mind.
7 degrees of separation between everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because you just said that, and I'm like, that's ironic, isn't it?
You know, Heidi was a nice... She was very... No, she wasn't. No, she's not very nice at all.
Sometimes life's a bitch. Sometimes you go take your UAs with Heidi Fleiss.
That's just weird. That's just weird that that's a fact of you know, whatever happened there. If you want to know the 911 and all that, you got to watch the E2 Hollywood story. We don't need to talk about it. It's all good.
Which, the good thing about the E2 Hollywood story.
It's actually pretty good.
You know what? It was the first of four... The fourth of four of their first episodes that they ever did that were 2 hours long.
Right.
And I was petrified. I thought, you know, they're going to trash me. They're going to interview me, my family, my friends. And they were really stand-up people. They did a really good job. Yep. They portrayed me as I am who I am.
Yep.
And I was really, really impressed with what they did.
Yeah.
You know, they did a really good job.
They didn't take a stand one way or the other. They just presented who you are.
They did. And there were only, at that point in time, four stories. There was Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, Gilligan's Island, and Ginger Lynn. They were the only four.
Interesting. There was a character on Ginger. Look at that. So there's, again, 6 degrees of separation. I mean, it just keeps coming. No, but that's the other thing when I said I love you, that's another thing that I love about you. You are who you are. And I got that, seriously.
Thank
we never
you.
Met before.
No.
I met you a couple weeks ago, 2 seconds. You are who you are. I can feel it.
I really am.
Yeah.
Now, Simon just pulled away.
No, I didn't mean to.
Simon's nervous.
Simon's nervous. Yeah, yeah. Have to be nervous about.
Yo, I ain't nervous.
Hey, I ain't nervous.
I got Ginger Lynn, super duper delicious adult film star. Yo, I ain't nervous.
What the fuck am I scared of? So she was in prison. She shanked a girl for pudding. she took a girl's pudding. She pissed in front of a black chick. I mean, shit happens.
Hello.
I'm not scared.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're drinking. We're sharing. We're sharing a nice, refreshing diet beverage.
Diet beverage. That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah. So.
Oh God.
That's crazy shit. So one of the things that I got out of that E! True Hollywood story is that you were getting roles. I mean, one of the things that people who are in the adult industry that they want is to work in, you know, quote unquote, mainstream TV and film.
They did back then. Today it's a whole different industry.
They just want to overdose
today,
and die.
They
now,
don't.
Right?
They don't do movies. They do scenes. It's a whole different industry.
Right.
I would never, ever, ever recommend anyone to get into the adult film industry today. I would steer you away from it.
I hear you.
You know, I don't.
Not even to pay for dental school. No.
No.
Not even for dental floss.
Do you want to die?
Yeah.
Not
even
for
dental
floss? Risk your life for dental school? No.
But how
don't.
About if you need new
You'll never make
loops.
It into dental school.
Then get a fucking job.
Yeah.
But that's a job. Go to work, get a job.
She's talking about people being exploited.
Okay. So
why would you say no? Why no? Tell us, why do you think?
I think that the industry today is dirty, disgusting, undignified.
Sensationalistic.
Absolutely. And there's no place for anyone to ever become well-known.
Right.
The way that you do it is you put goldfish in your butt.
Yeah.
You go to extremes. It's not even about sex anymore. Right. It's about the sensationalism.
Right.
And it's like how many
cocks can you put in my nose?
It's violent.
How many? Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And the girls, you know what? I love sex. I don't want you.
Do you love sex, Ginger?
I love sex. Okay. I'm really love.
If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Do you love sex, Ginger?
I'm the happiest girl ever. But I never did anything I didn't want to do.
Right.
And the girls today do things. I'm not saying that they necessarily do things that they don't want to do, but they do what they feel they need to do to become famous.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get famous doing that shit.
You're never going to get
famous. You're going to get famous for doing that shit in a negative light.
No. Because
when
you...
will never become famous again unless you're like the Yeah, you'd be negatively. Mom.
Don't remember you negatively.
No, because when you suck 80 fucking orangutan dicks, there's going to be somebody else that's going to swallow 5 rhinoceros balls.
Exactly.
And it's never going to end.
Exactly.
Next week on the Dark Mark Show. I have a question because, you know, one movie where you played a really cool role is a movie that changed the direction of my life, which was Young Guns 2.
Yeah.
It was after that movie that I realized I didn't want to go to community college and I was just going to roam the countryside.
Yeah.
And now I do that as a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
That 3.2 seconds that I turn and look at the camera, I shot for 3 weeks.
I had to dye
my hair. They cut my hair, they dyed it, they did all the stuff, and you see me for literally 3.2 seconds.
But it made it to the E! True Hollywood Story.
But it's a classic movie.
But that was really like that. Was that at that point? Was that the biggest budget, legitimate, you know, or mainstream movie?
That's huge,
breaking in.
And
I remember just to be on set.
I'm on the film, and I'd gone out with, we shared rooms, and I had a girlfriend that was on the film with me together, and we went out the night before. And, you know, when you drink a little bit too much, well, I had diarrhea. So I'm on the toilet, in the bathroom, and I hear this knock on the door. Now, I can see out the window of the bathroom, it's Charlie Sheen standing there, and I'm like going,
Bad.
It was just awful. And
that can happen.
It does.
It happens at the worst possible.
Of course.
He did not seem to mind.
Good for him.
He did not mind.
Hey, he seems like a pretty cool guy.
That's a sign of a real gentleman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. Because it's real. It's fucking real.
It's real.
No, it was real. It was very real. And he didn't run. And we had.
You guys had a run.
We had a run.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
We did.
You had the runs. Then you guys
so,
had a run.
So, okay. So then there's another movie that you did. I was watching Bound and Gag. Bound and Gag, the love story. Now that's not an adult film movie.
No.
It sounds like it, but it's about an abused wife, and
one of the films I'm the most proud of that I've ever done. Chris Mulkey is my leading man, mm-hmm. and he was just fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's about a woman who's kidnapped by her best friend because her husband has been beating her. And so there's this whole violent thing going on with Chris Mulkey, and Elizabeth Saltarelli kidnaps me. We go off on this road trip. Karen Black, who mm-hmm. just recently
right.
passed away, is in the film. And it was one of those roles where they really gave me an opportunity to do what I can do the best.
Right.
And I don't get those often enough.
We're going to work on something for you. Don't worry about it.
You know what? I don't worry.
Yeah. No, we're going to work on something. No. I know you don't worry. I'm saying we're going to work on something, some dramatic role for you. It's coming.
NPR in 3D, it's coming. Movie, summer
blockbuster. No, it's coming. It's coming. You're definitely going to be
able. The next thing coming up, the one that I can't tell you about, will be the one that changes everything.
Everything?
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's very, 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 very close.
It's happening.
So you're going to change the game again on us?
I am.
So hold on.
The script one more time.
That's awesome.
So you went to the Cannes Film Festival with this.
With Bounding Out.
That's a fucking
story. Yes.
When I say earlier, I said, you know, you've lived a full life. You've fucking done it all. I mean, how many people have gone to prison, right? Think about it. Not once, but a couple of times, right, so to speak?
Three
times. Cannes Film Festival. Charlie Sheen. I'm telling you. I mean,
I've had a very eventful, exciting, full life.
Yeah, I'd say so. Most people could not handle that. I'm telling you.
Most people, they go home, they put some macaroni and cheese on the stove, they make a TV dinner.
It burns, they lose it.
They go to work, they sit in traffic on the way to work.
They lose it.
They have the favorite sweater.
I go home and I make a 3-hour homemade chili with fresh chopped chilies and onions and cumin and oregano and everything is freshly made. If I had to say God gave me one gift that I'm the best at, and I paint, I sew, I knit, I do all these cooking.
Cooking.
Cooking would be what I would say that God gave me.
That's a sensual thing. Cooking.
I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
It's my release. It's my therapy.
What do you love to cook?
Anything, everything. If somebody dies, it's usually sweet things.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I bake
bakes,
a lot.
Bakes.
I bake a lot. If I'm just passionate, it's a lot of meat-filled things, lasagna, Italian food.
Is that your background, Italian?
No, I'm German, Irish, and Cherokee Indian.
Nice.
My mother's half Cherokee.
Nice. How about steak? Do you cook good steak?
I make the best steak. Really?
Yeah.
Do you make it? Do you grill it in butter?
Grill it, no butter. Grill it.
You've got to have. How can you not do butter?
That's two different ways of doing it. If I was going to pan sear a steak, I'd use butter and some special seasoning that I use.
Okay.
And then I'd sear it in the butter. Yes.
Okay.
If I'm going to do it in the grill, I get a nice fatty ribeye, and I season it with the special thing. No butter needed.
No, you're absolutely right. The seasoning, as long as you season it, the seasoning will keep all the flavor deep inside.
Yeah, and I love steak.
You're turning me on now.
Yeah.
Well, you're really getting me going.
You should really love a good steak.
You do.
You should write a cookbook.
We'll hook you up.
Write a cookbook if it's a passion.
I love to cook.
Do it.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. Blame it on Ginger's cookbook.
Yeah. And the way if you fuck it up, it's okay.
If the food's good. If the food's good, blame it on Ginger.
Yeah.
Right.
You're like,
not
I gained 10 pounds. Blame it on Ginger.
Yeah. I swallowed a toothpick. Blame it on Ginger's cookbook. There you go. So I mean that is the most one of the most unique things about you is again that you're always reinventing yourself. I'm telling you, Ginger. All bullshit aside.
You're so sweet.
No, I'm not being sweet. I'm being honest. All bullshit aside, people in this industry do the research. Motherfuckers implode. Most people cannot handle the shit that you're doing. You and Charlie Sheen, both of you fucking. Charlie Sheen's another one. Like, no one can handle that crazy shit. Believe me.
I think that there are certain people who thrive on that, they live for that. Mm-hmm. I hate drama. I fucking hate any drama. Mm-hmm. And every day in my life, there seems to be something that comes up that just drives me fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. And I find a way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with it? By cooking?
I suck a lot of cock.
Sucking the big caca. Big up your bomba clad, pussy clad. Satan, swallowing, jamboree, eating and gargling, mother. fuck us.
All your women taking care of your men so they don't go out to rob and kill and steal.
The Key to Life by Ginger Lynn Allen.
She's like, I gotta go to the DMV.
Just Cox-a-grin.
You know what? You know what? Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Who needs date nights? Couple therapy.
Who needs to have date night?
You know, who needs to have a conversation about it? Fuck that.
So that's, I mean, cool. I mean, and you know what?
That was an odd. 6 years into our relationship.
God bless. And he's a great guy.
He's great.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's awesome.
Well, another big up.
Big up, Nicodemus! You tall, skinny, lanky, loving motherfucker!
You get your dick sucked nightly, man!
Three times! Four times! Yeah.
Now I have to do three more today.
No. No, it's a good
Baby,
thing.
Come on in.
No. So we got about 7-8 minutes or something like that.
We can't.
6 minutes. Okay, six so we have minutes. About six minutes. Don't stop. Rock the click clack on your motherfucking dick tip.
Support for NPR comes from the Ginger Lynn Cookbook
Foundation. All right, so we got about guys providing us.
Support for NPR comes from the 6 minutes with Ginger Lynn.
What's up? You having fun? Are you going to come back on the show?
I'm having a blast. You guys are the best. You're just so much fun.
Yeah,
so,
you know. So we have a little, we like pizzazz. We like a little pizzazz.
I had no idea what it was in for. You guys are the best.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. We love you.
Amazing. Wonderful and fun. And I'm laughing. This is what my day is all about.
Right.
It's every moment that I enjoy myself, that I laugh, that mm-hmm. I love, that mm-hmm. I live, that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing right here.
Love it. That's what we try to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get it 100% right. And today, tonight, this episode, we have
100% right.
That's because you're on. Perfect. That's because you're on. That's the reason. Because it's all
feng shui. It's feng shui. It's like the yin and the yang concept.
Okay. Yeah. Don't stop the beat. Don't stop the cocaine.
Feng shui my house.
Oh, yeah. We'll feng shui the fucking shit out of that.
I really need to feng shui my house. Check this out.
I want to talk about your show.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So every show here on Skid Row Studios is completely fucking different. Every one of them. And I tell people, I always say, if you like NPR and the Stories Public Radio, seriously, come on to SkidRowStudios.com. If anything, if for whatever reason, for Ginger's show, it's amazing. You've only been doing it for what, a month or so, a month and a half?
About six weeks.
Yeah. When's it on?
Monday. I'm on Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
That's 7 to 9.
7 no. till 9.
10. Is it 7 to 9?
It's 2 hours.
No, you said
hours.
4 to 6, right?
4 to 6.
So that's 7.
6 till 8.
I'm trying to do mathematics on the
don't
Eastern.
Do math.
Forget all that shit.
3 hours different. Yeah. Okay, so yeah.
4 7 to 9.
Is 7 till 9.
Yeah, yes. 7 to 9.
And anyway, it's live, so
no
if you're stuck in traffic.
No one said math would be involved. No
if you're stuck in traffic.
No, but it's live. So
tune your cell phone in to Skid Row Studios and listen while you're stuck in that bullshit traffic on the 101 or 405.
While you're fucking worrying about how much rice cake and rice milk you're going to bring home to your fucking kids from Trader Joe's. While you're worrying about how many avocado pits you're going to have to throw out from Whole Foods because you paid $16 a pound and they got all fucking moldy while you're fucking worried about how much dog shit you gotta clean in your backyard, you could be downloading the Skid Row's app and you could be listening to some real shit.
Thank you.
Know what I'm saying? That's what you should be doing.
Thank you.
Pick the fuck up to all your supporting motherfuckers. So real quick. So your show, what is your show? What are you doing your show? I know you do everything. So Monday you have Nina Hartley. For all
Mondays,
your Nina Hartleys, Nina Hartley's here live
is
Monday.
Mom Mondays with Nina Hartley. Tuesdays is Tasty Tuesdays. Wednesday is The Crack with Ro Del Grazzi.
We know Ro.
I love Ro.
Yes.
She's amazing.
How did you meet Ro? How do you know Ro?
I know Ro from yoga.
Okay, nice.
And she's
that's a trip.
She works at a restaurant across from
Ro,
my yoga studio. Ro the comedian.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, yeah, Ro Del Grazzi. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, she's great.
I
love
her.
She's funny as fuck, too.
Oh, she's funny, yeah.
Oh, she's hilarious. Yeah. She's brilliant.
Oh, yo, you know Ro, yo.
I know Ro, yo.
Hey! Yoga ass splitting thigh whopping motherfucker.
The kundalini rising upward downward dog. The sunny namaskara ara ara.
Namaste! Namaste! Pussy clod.
So when can we come on one of your shows, dude, and fucking rock the mic, yo?
Well, now, if you come on my show, you have to be naked.
That's everyone. You for him. That's you. Hold on, only one of us has to be naked. Not all of us.
That's for
only
you.
Men on my show have to be completely naked.
No, bullshit.
Naked.
Dark Maul wasn't naked on your show.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
I was here.
Girl, you ain't even got the bandwidth for Dark
Mark. Dick was out. Nina Harley had
but he wasn't naked. He had his fucking Beetlejuice outfit on. He was fully clothed.
Out.
Dude, well, that's a lot of bandwidth, yo, man. He's the...
So Wednesday's Ro Del Grazzi. Thursday
is Kelly Nichols.
Okay, and Friday
is Sapphire, Miss Sapphire Radio.
Miss Sapphire Radio.
Yes.
Okay, so you have all sorts of people. You talk about sex, you talk about ping pongs, you talk about ding dongs, you talk about slam a lam a ling long, you talk about schlong, you don't stop, pastrami. You know, you talk about all sorts of shit, and you have people who do all sorts of stuff. They take off their clothes, they get spanked, all kinds of shit.
Yes. Yes, I was actually kicked off of iTunes for about 3 weeks because I put eggs in Kelly Nichols' pussy.
Mm-hmm. And what's wrong with that?
Well, it's line 17.
Oh, paragraph 17.
Line 17 is
paragraph 17, line 34.
I did not read that line.
Regardless
no
of which came
me.
First.
And so the thing was, we were over here on the floor. I had the little blanket down, a blanket and a little thing. And I had the eggs inside of her. I'm pulling them out, and she started to squirt, and she doused me.
Oh, no!
She was like, squirt!
Did you lay down newspaper after that? Doused. Like, how does...
No, I have my pee-pee pad. I take it home, I wash it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I have a pad that I put down that's waterproof. There's a thing in the middle of it. I take it home. I wash it every
sure. Okay.
Day.
Do you have a cabinet?
Past OSHA standards.
You have a cabinet
standards.
Of goodies.
I have a cabinet over in the corner.
Dildos, Cheerios, Wheatios, all sorts of shit is in there. Plus sanitary napkins, wipes, earplugs, all sorts of crap is in
gloves,
there. Gloves.
You name it. I'm a very safe sex kind
you
of
are,
girl.
You are. You
so
are.
So talk to us about the Dark Mark dick whip out. How did... What
we're gonna have to close it. No, we have to close out soon. So Dark Mark's dick
shit.
Out is gonna have
the
to happen.
Out,
at
whip
time.
Out, a dark
dick,
mark
dick,
out.
Diggity, yiggity, dick, don't stop.
We'll have
dark
to go back
Mark's
and
cock.
Check that out.
Well, you're gonna have to come back on the show
I would
another
love
time.
To.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so
no,
very
thank
much.
You, Ginger. Thank you, Ginger. So, what's your website? You have a couple of websites. You sell auctions and stuff like that. What's your website?
GingerLynnAuctions.com.
Okay.
You can follow me on Twitter at BlameItOnGinger and. There's also blameitonginger.com.
Okay. So Ginger Lynn or Ginger Lynn's auctions?
GingerLynnAuctions.com.
GingerLynnAuctions.com.
Yes.
Check it out. There's probably some really good stuff in there. I think Dark Mark's underwear are in there also, right? You're,
they
you're
are.
Selling them?
They are. Cool. He's up.
So we one of us is, promises to get naked on your show while the other two stays fully clothed. So we got to work that out to be on your show.
Just figure it out.
Yeah.
Which? It's you.
He's going to take off his clothes. Anyway, we're going to be out. Ginger, we love you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.